Perhaps you've heard that, of course, coming up in 2 weeks, we have our Bring a Friend Day, and I really want to, Eric Fridge runs point on our Bring a Friend Day, and I want to congratulate him because he had some very high-level discussions with the National Football League over the past year, and he got them to schedule the Super Bowl on the day of our Bring a Friend Day, and I think that's fantastic that he's kind of gotten that coordinated in that way. But perhaps you've heard, of course, coming up in 2 weeks, our Bring a Friend Day, and it's also Super Bowl Sunday. And have you heard that on Super Bowl Sunday, Tim Tebow will be featured in a commercial? CBS has announced that it will air an anti-abortion commercial sponsored by Focus on the Family during this year's Super Bowl. The commercial will feature former Florida Gator quarterback Tim Tebow, who of course won the Heisman Trophy in 2007. He won two national championships. He broke a number of college football records. Some say he's the greatest college player ever. I don't know about that. He's certainly, I am not a Florida Gator fan at all. At all. At all. But I gotta give due props to Tim Tebow. His parents have been missionaries in the Philippines. And when his mom, Pam, was pregnant with her fifth child, Tim, she was advised that she needed to have an abortion because of some potential complications. Quote, her personal story of how her faith convinced her to carry the baby will form the centerpiece of this commercial during the Super Bowl. It will be a story of celebrating family, celebrating life as a central theme. Perhaps you know that today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Why is this Sunday designated Sanctity of Life Sunday? Well, every year in January, around this time, it's designated such because 37 years ago, yesterday, our Supreme Court made abortion legal in all 50 states. And the intent was further clarified in 1982 when the Senate Judiciary Committee stated, and I quote, no significant legal barriers of any kind whatsoever exist today in the United States for a woman to obtain an abortion for any reason during any stage of pregnancy. I believe that every conceived child deserves a birthday. And so today on Sanctity of Life Sunday, I want to speak with clarity about the darkness of abortion. And contrary to what you may hear propaganda-wise, the abortion industry is fueled by sexual immorality and by greed. It is big business. And as Carol Everett, who formerly worked in the abortion industry, she is now a pro-life advocate, she wrote a book called Blood Money. Well, the word sanctity simply means sacred, and that means that human life has a special sacredness to it. It's not to be devalued or profaned or destroyed, whether that human is a preborn or whether that human is 100 years old in a nursing home and not fully aware of what's going on around him or her. Do you know the Old Testament story of Jochebed? She was the mother of Moses. She's not mentioned that often in the Bible, but she's a hero of many because she fought for the life of her baby. She chose life, and she's the Old Testament character who serves as the foundation of today's message. There's a very brief mention of her in the book of Numbers. The Bible says, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi who was born to the Levites in Egypt, and to Amram she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Now you'll find Jochebed's story highlighted in the book of Exodus chapter 2. But at the end of chapter 1, you'll find this phrase. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile. The Egyptian Pharaoh was fed up with the population boom among the Israelis living in Egypt. And he issues a decree that every male child should be drowned in the Nile. Exodus chapter 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. That would be Jochebed, and the son would be Moses. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, you can just keep a child quiet for so long. She got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. I'm not going to go into all the details of how she fought for her child. But she did. And God honored her faith. And God protected Moses. And God used Moses. But this woman, Jochebed, against all odds, fought for the life of a baby. And why did she go to all that trouble? Simply because she chose life and God helped her. And I believe that as believers, we can choose life too. We can honor life. We can honor and preserve and treat with dignity all those who are alive, whatever their age. This Tuesday morning, I will fly to Tennessee. I will visit with my mother in a nursing home. Hopefully, she'll recognize me. The lady that's in her room will not. But their lives are sacred. Every year, there's about 1.4 million abortions in the United States. About 3,500 every day. Now think about that. Don't just let those numbers roll over you. That's more than the number of lives perished in the World Trade Center attacks. Some of you have had abortions. Some of you have advised people to have abortions. Some of you have financed abortions. And you regret it. You regret it a lot. As one woman said, my quick and easy fix has weighed on me for 20 years. But God has a word of hope for you today, and He has a word of grace. We'll get there. I want to start with a couple of affirmations, and here's the first one. Every human life is sacred. Human dignity is not based on my ability to care for myself, or my competence, or my age, or my ability to communicate. My worth comes from being created in the image of God. And that's why the sixth commandment in God's top 10 reads as follows. Exodus 20 verse 13, you shall not kill. You shall not commit murder. You shall not trespass into the domain where God alone decides that He will spawn life and how God alone decides when He will number someone's days. That's God's exclusive territory. And the second affirmation is that a preborn child is a sacred human life and worthy of our protection. Ultrasound machines provide a real-time color motion picture of a baby in the womb. They give us a window into the womb, and you'll see some photos here on our screen. When mothers see these pictures, even if they've been planning an abortion, they almost always decide to keep the baby. One of our medical doctors in our church told me a few years ago, he said that there is a mantra among abortionists, and here it is. Don't let the mother see the ultrasound. Why? Because she will realize that what is developing within her womb is not a goldfish, it's not a tumor, it's not a mass of tissue, it's a life. It's a beautiful life waiting to be born. Here are some facts about you that you may not realize. Your life began at conception. At that moment, you became a unique person, full DNA in place. At 20 days, your spinal cord, nervous system, and brain foundation were established. At 21 days, your heart was beating. At 40 days, your brain waves could be recorded and your bones were forming. At 8 weeks, you could suck your thumb, turn your head, respond to pain. All of your bodily organs were present. From the 13th week on, you merely developed in size and strength. You were no goldfish. David celebrates the personhood of a child in the womb. In Psalm 139, he says, "You created me. You created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." In the New Testament, the birth narratives of John the Baptist and Jesus trace their personhood back to within the womb. Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. And when Mary, the mother of Jesus, learned that she was to give birth to the Son of God, she visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was already 6 months pregnant with a child who was to be John the Baptist. And in Luke 1:41, the Bible says, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb." What I want you to see, that word baby, that's not the word for embryo or fetus or goldfish or tissue. The very word that refers to John the Baptist in a womb in Luke chapter 1 is the very same word that refers to Jesus in a manger in Luke chapter 2. This is a life. And who John was and who Jesus was, they already were inside the womb. Have you ever seen the acrostic SLED? S-L-E-D. What's the difference between a newborn and a preborn? Size. But since when does size determine whether or not your life is valuable? Do we consider a life more valuable because somebody weighs 200 pounds and another person weighs 150 pounds? The difference is size. The difference is level of development. And sure, there's a level of development between a newborn baby and a preborn baby. There's a level of development between a 2-year-old and a 20-year-old. But is the life of a 20-year-old valuable and the life of a 2-year-old not valuable because their level of development is different? Their environment is different. Yes, it is. Their environment is different. But since when does environment determine whether or not your life is valuable? I live in a house. My mom lives in a nursing home. Some of you live in the country. Some of you live in the city. One baby is in a manger. Another baby is in a mother's womb. D, degree of dependency. Yes, there is a significant difference in the immediate degree of dependency upon another human between a child in the womb and a full-grown, healthy adult. But degree of dependency does not determine personhood. One of the things I think our culture is doing a pretty good job of, we're doing a pretty good job of addressing the horrors associated with child abuse. Nowadays, any adult who mishandles or mistreats a child is going to be held accountable. They are going to be prosecuted to the full extent. But in the strangest twist of logic, you take that child and you hit the rewind button and you push the film of his life, the film of her life, back several frames so that that child is now on the wrong side of the birth canal and that child's life becomes much less protected. I believe, personally, my personal conviction, not a political conviction, a moral conviction, that abortion is indefensible, that it is the taking of a life of a fully human, fully alive person who just happens to be on the wrong side of the birth canal. Now, what are some action steps that I believe Christians need to take? First of all, I encourage you to come to your own well-informed convictions on the sacredness of human life. Come to your own convictions there. Do your own research. And in the day of internet, just sit down and type in pro-life or pro-choice. Type in right to life. Just start coming to your own convictions on that. It's so easy to hear sound bites and, you know, look at a bumper sticker, but do your own authentic reflection and research. Come to your own conviction. Here's what we can't do. I've had the opportunity in my life for over 20 years to travel some in various European countries. I've been to Dachau, the site of an infamous Nazi concentration camp. I've been to Mauthausen in Austria. You know what's amazing? You go to Dachau today, you go to Dachau just outside Munich, it is a happening little suburb. And even in the 1940s, it was a charming little community. And you go to Mauthausen in Austria, just the most charming little villages around. And there at Dachau and there at Mauthausen, the slaughter of so many innocent people. And the folks in the villages knew, but they didn't want to know. And they just tried to ignore it. This is something you can't ignore. Come to your own convictions. And secondly, take action with integrity. Take action with integrity to protect those who cannot protect themselves. One of the statements throughout the Bible that believers are urged to do, and I've given you one scripture here from Proverbs 31, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. That every child is precious. This morning, to watching these little children up here, we love them. And every child, a preborn child, is precious. With integrity, act, write letters, vote, march, align yourself, serve in an organization that exists for the express purpose of protecting preborn children. Volunteer your time, perhaps even opening your home to give personal care who are facing difficult choices in life. Do what you can to protect children and speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Abortion is a matter of human rights. The right of a child to live because life is sacred. One young pregnant woman wrote these words, and I quote, "In this society, we save the whales, we save timber wolves, bald eagles, and Coke bottles. And yet everyone wanted me to throw away my baby." Let there be no hatred or malice from Christian people. Never return evil for evil. But let there emanate from us a clear message that life is a gift from God and is to be respected and protected. And the last thing I want to say is that godly outrage can be, and it must be, accompanied with hope in Christ. Yes, we need to clearly proclaim Christ's teaching that life is precious. We need to clearly proclaim that sex outside of marriage is a sin, and it is a sin not because some little tiddlywink piece of protocol has been violated, but because people get hurt. And sexual immorality is directly related to the abortion epidemic, and as believers in Christ, we advocate a return to a godly, wise, and responsible lifestyle. But not only do we proclaim righteousness, we also proclaim mercy upon those who have violated those standards. Abortion is a quiet sin. A lot of people in churches struggle with the guilt. No one but God knows. But God has a word for you today. If you've terminated a pregnancy, if you've given that advice, or if you financed it, it seemed like the easy thing to do, and you regret it. Recognize a sin's been committed. That's the first step. But we've got good news beyond that step. The blood of Jesus can forgive every sin, and repented of sin is forgiven sin. And as far as the east is from the west, we can announce God's mercy. Perhaps you've made a decision that cannot be reversed, but it can be forgiven, and that's why Christ died for us. He was punished for our transgressions, and Don't take that experience and just bury it. One of the amazing things God does for all of us is that He can take even decisions we have made, and we rue the day that we made that decision. But now you can take that experience, and you can become the resource to another person. You can become the help to another person that you wish someone had been for you. And let me just say that I believe as believers, we need to give incredibly enthusiastic support to every mother, to every pregnant woman, regardless of her situation. Regardless of her situation. Even if she'd made bad choices before, she's made a good choice in keeping that child. The key question for all of us in any scenario is, what next? On the heels of a bad decision, now, what next? And the baby within her wants life. Life is beautiful. It is precious. And that's what God wants for all of you throughout eternity, is life. And may I just ask you, whatever you do, to pray. Just pray, oh God, bring about a spiritual awakening in our nation so that every life is precious and every child has a birthday. Okay. I know this is not the kind of message that's pleasant to listen to. But life is sacred. Believers all over our nation today are thinking about this. Let's partner with them in prayer for an awakening to the preciousness of life, to the preciousness of every child, okay? You have in your hand an order of worship with a communication card. And one of the things we do at the end of every service is we give you a chance to just fill out that card. If you're a member here, if you're a guest here, fill out that card, please. And in just a moment, we're going to collect those cards. If you would like to communicate a prayer request, our church leaders here would be honored to pray over that request this week. It could be something that you're celebrating. It may be a need that you want to communicate. If you'll just indicate in the space provided that prayer request, we'll honor that. If you would like to take a next step of baptism or talk to somebody about membership in our church family, you can indicate that on that card as well. Okay? All right. Take a moment. Fill out those cards. I'm going to pray over us. And then Greg and the team are going to lead us in a final song. Just remain seated until Greg cues us to stand. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanksgiving for your kindness and goodness to us. And with believers all over the world today, we honor and we glorify your name. You are the creator of every good gift, and we submit to your authority as the King of the universe. And with one voice, we enthrone you in our hearts. We honor you. Lord God, we pray that you will restrain evil and that you will release righteousness, and may righteousness flow like a river in our nation. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.